Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
You all said probably. I mean, at this point, we've been doing this for about a year now. You should know one way or t'other.
The definitive way to learn about Japan.
Definitive way.
The best way, better than anyone else. How you doing though, Pete?
Who else is doing this?
It's true, actually. I don't know of many other Japan podcasts.
No.
If you know of any Japan podcasts, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
let us know. Send it into our podcast fax machine.
And well, and destroy them.
I don't want to destroy the competition ruthlessly, indiscriminately. I've had a good week, Pete.
Oh, you asked me and I didn't answer you. I just went,
yeah,
I just piled into some material.
I've gone past that. I don't care how you are. I'm going to brag about how I feel.
It's fine. Went to see a film in the rain, and I went to Rotterdam since we last spoke. Very windy, very nice. The architecture is very beautiful. Went to a pinball museum.
Wonderful.
Ate a stroopwafel.
A stroopwafel.
You never had a stroopwafel?
They're quite good. They're quite popular in Japan. Every coffee shop does a stroopwafel. You stick it on top of your like hot chocolate and it kind of melts and goes all soft and wonderful.
Wonderful.
I was going to say wondrously. Is that a word?
You sound like you're talking.
Hashtag wondrously.
You've been in England for too long. You're starting to pick in that kind of half Japanese, half English.
I'm just using happy words, Pete. Because for the first time in 1 year, I've had a bit of a viral video.
What?
The most recent video I put out. What's it called? It's called What is Owning a Japanese Love Hotel Like? Or something.
Yeah.
What's Owning a Love Hotel in Japan Like? It got like a million views in a week.
Wow.
Which I, because I've been doing Journey Across Japan, cycling through a field for like a year, which is good to some extent, but most people aren't interested in that. But what people do like is a love hotel. And thus, 1 million
Six.
Views.
Three. Sex.
That is the best summary. For those of you who haven't seen it, I did a video about a love hotel. The owner, Mr. Shishidor, takes us around the love hotel and wheels off a succession of witty quotes. He rolls around, he does the monkey bars and makes it sound like he's having sex.
I can say this
furiously.
Now, you've done the video, that man is a deviant.
A lot of people are pissed because if you watch the video, the first 5 seconds, the guy, Mr. Shishidor, is doing the monkey bars, but he's going, I deliberately put a shot of a bed.
Yeah.
And it looks really provocative. But, you know, if you put that on, and people have been like, you bastard, I put this on in the library, and everyone looked at me, or my parents are like...
You shouldn't be putting anything. Putting anything that loud
I
out
disagree.
Into a library.
You should definitely be watching Abroad in Japan in the library.
Yeah.
But it's alienated a lot of people from their families, their parents, who think their son or daughter's watching porn upstairs loudly.
Watching grot on
YouTube. It's just a Japanese guy doing monkey bars.
It is a Japanese guy doing monkey bars.
Innocently.
The whole setup of those love hotel rooms are very... He'd been given some pipes, so he built a jungle gym. It just seemed like very like, oh, I've been given some asbestos, I'm going to make this the asbestos room. It was just very much like, I'll make this room whatever I've got hanging around, really.
Yeah, I don't know the thought process that goes behind it. Honestly, I don't. We did a love hotel video 3 years ago with the same guy, different hotel. And that time, the love hotel that time is arguably more intense and bizarre. There's a teddy bear cave. There's
like
a room
pit.
There's like a pit of teddy bears you can frolic in. There's a toilet which is on like a throne. There's a cinema room where your bed is like tucked into a kind of cinema style wall. It's really, like, the rooms are crazy, and I don't know who actually sits down to think them up, but what a job it would be. Imagine having that as a job.
Though. That's a thing, though. It's like, I remember there was a shop in Brighton, and it used to just sell puppets. And that's the sort of, like, shop that kids, like an 8-year-old would go, what do you want to sell in your shop? Puppets.
Well, who
any other
want
toys?
To sell puppets?
Just puppets. Just selling puppets.
I look at you, and I think you are a puppet salesman.
Mm,
and why
I
are you doing
so,
that?
Yeah.
I think you'd be
not
great.
Not near kids.
If you were going to have a love hotel,
right.
What kind of room would you have in it?
I'd have it in tribute to the Fox television TV series 24. And it would be Jack Bauer themed. There'd be a torture room.
And a timer. You've got to be
timer,
in there for 24
yeah.
hours.
There's a bomb.
You've got to disarm. Otherwise it goes off in the room.
You've got a shrine to his best friend, Tony Almeida. It would just be a big 24 room, basically, I think.
I like this concept.
Yeah.
That's a very cool concept. but yeah, no, I don't know how they get thought up, but it was a great great hotel. And yeah, it was cool. He gave us like behind the scenes access. Obviously, the question you get with Love Hotels, I've done it three times now, that video, and different videos of Love Hotels. The question people get, the question people ask me the most is obviously, are they clean?
Yes.
And people talk about using a UV light in a Love Hotel. Mm. But honestly, I find Love Hotels are probably cleaner than your average hotel.
Cleaner than Airbnb, I'll give them
like,
that.
If you're all right going into an Airbnb or just a hotel in general, you should be fine in a Love Hotel where they do go above and beyond. And just because people go to a Love Hotel doesn't mean they just have random sex all over the wall,
no.
All over the window, all over the bath counter.
Some of them eat chicken.
Some of them eat fried chicken
and chips, which you don't really understand. You just eat a load of fried chicken.
That is true.
And then get down to it. It's all very confusing.
When I was in the kitchen doing that scene in the Love Hotel, all the orders are coming through from the rooms, and it was just wave after wave of fried chicken requests. It's like that's like the aphrodisiac. Fried chicken and chips.
It used to be oysters. Now it's the Colonel's. The Colonel's munchers.
What's your aphrodisiac? Is it fried chicken? I'm not sure I know the answer to this.
I don't want to eat anything. I don't want to eat anything before I begin.
I don't want to know. Let's
you don't
want
to do that on a full stomach. The things I get up to.
Oh, God. But if you haven't seen the video, do check it out on the Broad Japan channel. It's a good video. It's one of the first videos I've been really excited about in a long time.
Six?
And there's that bit there.
Yeah.
Because I asked Mr. Shishidor, the owner, if he could sum up the hotel in three words. What was it? Rest. It was like stay. Relax. And
rest.
Sex. He rest. Does it in a really weird voice.
Sex.
That should be another. Another sound effect for this podcast.
Annoyingly, I did clip it. I've got it in the system, but the system isn't performing as to how I'd like, so I can't really get it up, which is annoying. So maybe I'll stick it in at the end.
Do it.
Sex.
That's what you're here for. Speaking of. We talked about cleaning rooms and cleanliness. Love Hotels, they are clean though, don't worry. And well, actually, that's not entirely true. I did go to one with a cockroach, didn't I? Which I've been pretty vocal,
cockroaches are very ubiquitous in
ubiquitous cockroaches. But if you are going to a Love Hotel, just do your research a little bit. Just go on like Google, and all you need is a quick review there. Look at some testimonials. Some of them are a bit shit. In Shibuya, where we did our podcast a few weeks ago, walking around Shibuya, some pretty dodgy ones there. We actually walked past the one where I had a cockroach in my bed.
Right. Everything smells like chlorine. Trying to keep it clean, but
and it doesn't stop the cockroaches.
No,
but no, do your homework if you're going to a Love Hotel, and
you'll
I promise
fine.
You, it's a lot of fun for a reasonable price.
And also, like, if you're in a big hotel and you've got 100 to 200 rooms to clean, a Love Hotel's only got like 5 or 6, isn't it, or 7 or 8, or 9.
Well, it's only about 15.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah,
smaller, just ruined it.
Certainly a smaller amount of rooms to clean.
They had two people go into each room and scrub away meticulously. So, no, from what I saw, I feel pretty comforted by that.
Huge.
Lovely room.
Hugely.
But on the subject of cleanliness, this week, a video has gone viral in Japan of Family Mart, wasn't it? Lots of rats on the run, on the loose, in a Family Mart in Tokyo. If you see this video, it's doing the rounds on Twitter, or you can just type in Japanese food store closes after videos of rats going viral. Basically, someone walked past a Family Mart, and in the shop window, on the shelf, there's about 6 or 7 rats just running wild,
incredible.
Running freely. And it's completely believable, because when I'm in Tokyo, certainly in Shibuya, I think I mentioned the other week, I was just standing there waiting for a friend, and a rat quite literally ran over my foot.
It's where I've
and I thought it was a small cat, because I saw it out the corner of my eye. It was a massive rat. It was really horrible.
They're really big. There was a really big one outside. There's a Campari bar just on the. What's it? Is it? They've called it like Basketball Street, haven't they? Like that.
Basketball Street.
Yeah, you know, like you go just next to the crossing. There's that street that goes up towards kind of. Well, I mean, I guess towards Yogi Park eventually. Yeah. But there's like that street that used to be frequented by street walkers and sex workers and things.
Right.
But to try and see off any bad connotations, they just call it Basketball Street.
Perfect.
And just put some basketballs on.
What was it killed before Basketball Street?
Dirty.
Rampant dirty sex, nonsense. Dirty Street.
Yeah, Dirty Den Street. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But no, it's caused a bit of a stir. It's hit Family Mart's reputation a little bit. Mm. And you can see why, because there's a considerable amount of rats.
Just
it's not one
so
little
many.
Cheeky rat. It's like a whole fleet.
Big chunky
a fleet
chunkers.
Of rats.
And also, like, they're just everywhere. And was this a closed store? Like,
I think it was open. No, because
they're always
the video,
open, aren't they? They never close.
Well, in the video, the person is standing by the window. I think they're kind of dumbstruck by seeing six or seven rats going around. And they thought, well, I'll go in and have a look. And they go in. And they're just walking past the shelves. And the rats are like, you know, half a metre away from the camera. This person's getting up and close. The rats aren't shy. They're sort of like, hello, I'm just coming here for my breakfast.
Shabu your basketball boys.
Coming here for some dinner.
Yeah.
So that's not done Family Mart any favours. I must admit, the rats do look quite cute. Actually, well, maybe think rats are nice.
Like Ratatouille.
Ratatouille. It's like Ratatouille.
But with more sandwiches.
The wonders that film did for the rat community.
The rat community. I must have had that video sent to me about seven or eight times by people who I'd gone to Japan with, because obviously for people who aren't that exploratory and that brave with their food choices, they'll generally find themselves in Family Mart just eating whatever sandwiches, and also we stay in Shibuya all the time. So obviously we've probably been in that Family Mart depending on where it
is. We probably have been. The one we went in during the bloody live show.
But I mean, Alex is obsessed with the kind of sandwiches that the Japanese make, the sandoichi. And he's like, oh, they're going to throw all those sandwiches away. This is terrible. This is a tragedy.
The strawberry and cream sandwich.
Yeah, those weird
the
ones.
Massively overrated strawberries and cream sandwich.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the store is now closed and they are destroying the stock and investigating the cause of the apparent infestation.
Give me the sandwiches.
The cause of which is just probably. Being in bloody Tokyo. There you go.
Yeah.
But it's been a bad year in general for Japanese companies having issues like this crop up. That was obviously due to rats, which is outside the control of the company. But recently, a few months ago, Otoya, one of my favourite restaurant chains, which they kind of do like teishoku, kind of lunch meals. And they're really good, reasonably priced for like £12, like $10 or something. You get really nice little lunch, rice and chicken cutlet and vegetables. I love it because it's kind of a balanced meal and I can trick myself into thinking I'm healthy when I'm eating like pickled foods alongside all the fried
it's
chicken.
It's so balanced.
It's so balanced. But a video came out with an employee naked from the waist down.
Oh.
The top half, he was wearing an alien costume and he used the tray to conceal his parts and he's just dancing around, kicking up his heels in the video in the kitchen of the Otoya restaurant. That went viral, caused a stir, and the company shut every single one of its 350 outlets.
Why?
Costing about $1 million for this day,
right,
just to re-educate the staff and tell them not to be dickheads.
You shouldn't need to be told not to remove your trousers.
Well, exactly.
And, getting your rat out.
But
so
it's actually damaged the profit forecast for the year. Because people have kind of, it looks bad for Otoya. They kind of shot themselves in the foot by shutting every single branch down and lecturing their staff. And people kind of think, well, Otoya can't be good if their staff are doing this. In Japan, you know, they take this stuff really seriously. I think if something like this happened in the UK, if someone did that at McDonald's, we'd be like, oh, it's just a crappy McDonald's branch. But in Japan, it like really blows a hole through the entire brand. And now, going back to the Family Mart one, people are going to think, well, Family Mart, maybe they're just cutting costs, maybe they're a bit lax on health and safety. Why go to Family Mart? Let's go to 7-Eleven or Lawson's.
Let's push the boat and go to 7-Elevens.
Let's go one block around the corner.
The rat-free store.
But so now, like, all the staff at Otoya can't use their phones at work. And it's now the president himself, the company, he's taken a 10% pay cut for the month, owing to the debacle.
It would have been so funny if he was doing that announcement behind a lectern and he finishes and says, thank you very much for your patience. We will do better. We will be better. And then he steps out from the lectern and he's completely Billy Bollocks. He's got nothing on in the bottom half. And he's like, ha-ha, I like it, really. I'm the president of the Nude from the Waist Down Corporation. Ha-ha, new direction for Otoya. Sweet.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why Pete Donaldson does not run a prominent food restaurant chain.
Yeah, there you go, though. That and dark forces against me, acting against me.
This takes me back to McDonald's a few years ago, though, when the McDonald's chicken nuggets got the chicken imported from China.
Yes, okay.
And a video did the rounds online, went viral on TV everywhere in Japan, of a Chinese worker at one of these chicken factories just dropping the chicken all over the floor.
Yeah.
And then sticking it back in the cooker for the chicken nuggets.
That's...
After that, all of the... Like, McDonald's was shut down for, like, a week, and they had no chicken nuggets or no chicken products. and then a few months later, all the chicken was sourced from Thailand.
Right,
completely
okay.
So Japan takes this stuff really seriously. Mm. Really kind of... It's incredible, really, how full out... I don't know what I'm saying.
How full on
they go. How full out.
Root and branch.
They take it seriously.
But is it Belt and Braces? Belt and Braces, isn't it? Kind of a holistic approach to their PR. I think, well, we're having here in England, of course, because obviously we've voted for Brexit and all that's getting sorted out. We're going to be importing chicken from the US that's chlorinated, which is
delicious.
Not something. But people are saying, well, where we put chlorine in the water, we should be able to eat chlorinated chicken, it's fine. It's just like.
Tasty chlorinated chicken.
It's chlorinated because they don't have such stringent rules about actually keeping livestock in the first place. So it's all just a big, strange situation for, I think, everyone in the world.
Would you eat chicken that had been dropped on the floor?
If they're chlorinated, straight afterwards, yeah.
Brilliant.
As long as it's not riding on the back of a rat, I'm all right. I'll eat anything. I had beef karaage yesterday.
Beef karaage.
Yeah,
fried
mental.
Beef.
Yeah,
karaage.
Just in the Okonomiyaki restaurant on the corner. They were doing
beef,
this mad.
I don't think I've ever had that. It's a beef that's been marinated
in the same thing.
Soy sauce, batter.
It was all right. It was like a big meatball.
It sounds bloody spectacular.
Good idea. Yeah, it's a good idea. I like it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Three, six.
Wonderful. We now turn our attention, ladies and gentlemen, to the fax machine for your questions. And the first one we've got is from Catherine, who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete." And Catherine's referencing a previous podcast we did about Japanese people not being kind. That ridiculous study where it said Japanese people aren't very selfless or helpful to strangers, which we decided was bollocks due to the way it was done. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm a massive fan of the podcast. I usually listen while I'm doing my art coursework.
Nice.
It doesn't help that I laugh so much because my paintbrush keeps slipping in my hand and I have to fix my painting.
Get ready, guys. There's something that... I'm trying to think of a famous painter. Van Gogh didn't need to deal with that.
That's right. Listen to didn't listen podcast. To the podcast. That's a really weird situation to envisage. I'm yet to catch up on the past few
weeks.
He won't
be able to hear it. He's got no fucking ear, mate.
I was a bit taken aback that Japan had ranked so low on the list for kind strangers. I went to Japan in April with my family and was amazed by how random the acts of kindness were there. We were given so many free things and helped out in so many ways, especially by one woman. We were in a cafe resting after our first day, and my mum had hit her toe in the airport, so we couldn't travel very far. And I decided to get some bubble tea. I returned from getting my drink to find my mum with her feet up on the table and a Japanese woman with a large first aid kit disinfecting her toe.
Wow.
After she bandaged everything up, she offered us the full first aid kit as a present and then began taking random items from her bag to give to us. We didn't know how to tell her that we didn't want them, so she kept giving things out of her rucksack to give us presents, including a notebook, a set of pens, some tape, and her address on a small slip of paper. After offloading the contents of her bag, she ran out of the cafe, apologising, leaving a full cup of green tea and an uneaten cake. In any other country, this would be really weird. Well, it seems like people in Japan have a really genuine interest in helping you, unless I just encountered a really strange assassination method. Love from Catherine. I think that's kind of odd. I'm going to say that goes past the line of being kind to just being full-blown bloody weird.
She's the toe disinfector. Tokyo toe disinfector.
The thing is, what was going on?
The Tokyo toe tickler. She's back.
Say we're in a cafe, you're my mum, and you just smashed your leg.
I'm very disappointed in you, Chris.
I've just arrived.
I hate the way you've turned out.
And I've screwed my toe. So I've gone to get the bubble tea. Did some woman hear this conversation think, oh,
let me disinfect your toe.
This is it. This is my moment to shine. First aid woman to the rescue. Crack out that toe, love, and let's fix it up. Like, how did that happen? I want to know more.
It's more that she, after she offloaded a lot of contents out of her bag, she ran out of the cafe apologising, leaving a full cup of tea and an uneaten cake, which makes me think that she'd stolen those items. And that was technically contraband, and she was trying to get rid of them so she couldn't get caught, and then she ran out.
It's a really odd situation. Mm. I don't quite know what to think of it. I don't know if that's kind or what, or maybe the girl just wanted to offload all this rubbish out of her rucksack.
Mm. I like it. Not for me, I like it, Chris.
But what an experience, Catherine.
To have a real, authentic Japanese toe disinfectant.
I read stories like this, and I think, why has nothing like this happened to me?
Why has nobody disinfected my toe recently?
I know, right? At the very least.
God damn it.
What have we got next, Pete?
We've got one for... It's over one page. Kelsey. I printed them out. Old Kelsey Ripper. Kelsey Reaper. Brilliant. Hello, Chris Beat. My name is Kelsey, and I live in Washington, D.C. Ooh. I just listened to your last episode talking about whether or not Japan is actually kind of strangers, and I find it hard to believe that the statistics rate Japan so low. When I visit Japan, my experience always made it all the more better because of the kindness of strangers. One stranger in particular that stands out to me with this old woman I met in Kyoto. I was on my way to catch the bus from my hostel to go and see the Shinsen-en Shrine Bridge, and then later across the street to Nijijo Castle, since they're so close. On my way to the bus stop, I hear this voice behind me, "Do you speak English?" And then I turned to see this small, adorable, elderly Japanese woman talking to me. I answer her, "Yes." She then asked me what I'm doing in Kyoto, and I explain that I'm with my friends travelling all across Japan, and I'm only staying in Kyoto for a couple of days, that I'm currently on my way to Shinsen-en. Her face lights up as she tells me she is also heading there and asks if I'd like to share a taxi with her instead of taking a bus. Now, boys, being a young 5'2" female, I am faced with a bit of apprehension at this point. Even though she seemed like a sweet old lady, she could have been a decoy for a cult or something worse, but I pushed those feelings down and agreed to share a taxi with her. Live for the adventure, but we're ready to fight at a moment's notice. Best decision ever. She paid for the taxi herself. She basically told me her life story of how she used to live in America, which explained her good English, and we roughly compared and contrasted American habits and Japanese habits. When we got to the shrine, she bought me a protection charm, saying that it will protect me from everything. I was so incredibly touched by her kindness, and therefore, and before we went our separate ways, I asked for a name. Kazuko Katayama. I plan on returning to Japan soon, and I hope to run into her again. Kelsey Ripper. There are photos of Kazuko and I, the charm, and a picture of the beautiful bridge. Enjoy. Were the pictures good?
The pictures weren't good. I didn't send you the pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
Lovely. That
if you're in Kyoto, look out for Kazuko Katayama. Mm. Lovely, smiley, elderly Japanese woman. I don't think she's that old. She looks 60s, but you might get a free protection charm, a free taxi ride across the area. Lovely.
I'm loving that. Lovely old job. That's beautiful. Again, I love those stories. They make me happy that in some future time, women can move through the world without worrying about things.
It feels like another nice story of coincidence, doesn't it? Mm. That they're both going to Kyoto.
Yeah.
Or maybe she wasn't going to Kyoto, and she just thought, "I'll just go with this foreigner for a bit. I'm a bit bored." You're going that way. Oh, you're going to the castle. Let's go too. Lovely though. Lovely stuff. We got one from Louise or Lewis. How's that pronounced?
I don't know. L-U-I-S-E. Louise.
L-U-I-S-E. Louise. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm excited about my trip to Japan in October with two friends of mine. We would like to visit an onsen as a group, but we don't want to be separated since we're a group of two women and one man. Do you know if there are any mixed gender onsens in or around Tokyo? Love the podcast. Thank you so much. All the best, Louise. Don't think I've ever been to a mixed gender onsen.
No.
I think, look, when you first hear that, you think, yeah, hot spring, lots of naked, attractive people around, but it's actually just people over 85.
Yep.
And it's not quite as good as you think it's going to be.
No.
At the same time, mixed gender onsens, the women are concealed with a towel, so it's all right. But right. There are a few. I found an article because I don't have much experience in this field. I know lots of onsens, but I don't know any mixed gender ones. There's an article called Seven Onsen in Kanto where men and women can bathe together. It's on Gaijin Pot. Just whack that into Google, and it actually lists seven rather nice onsens, hot springs in the Tokyo area that you can just pick one of them, go to it, give it a shot.
Mm.
Would you go to a mixed onsen?
I'd get in the bath. Get in the bath and make the bubbles laugh. Make the bubbles laugh. Do you remember that rhyme when you were a kid? I jumped in the bath and I made the bubbles laugh. I jumped in the lorry and I never said sorry. I think I'm on a break.
I sound like a hitchhiking nightmare. Crikey.
Oh, dear.
There you go. Keep the stories, messages and questions coming into abroadinjapanpodcast @gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have a great week. And we'll be back next Wednesday or Thursday. Nobody knows when it is, and nobody ever will. When is it? I don't know. Is it Thursday? Thursday night.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.